Let's go to Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to study the Christmas story, but I have been just fascinated this week. And I don't think I've ever taught on this man or given a lesson or preached a message, but there was 8 days after Jesus was born, in accordance to the law, they brought him to the temple, and there was an encounter with two people. One was a man by the name of Simeon, and another, a lady by the name of Anna. And I'm going to look at Simeon in the encounter there. We'll probably read both of them real quick, but just a fascinating thing. And I just kind of kept reading this little account, and boy, the Bible principles begin to flow, and a lesson begin to develop. And I thought, I don't think I've ever on Christmas time talked about Simeon and the way the Lord used him to not only just another voice, another witness to proclaim, this is the Messiah, this is the Christ. And then his personal words to Mary, I think, are heart-touching. And so that's what we're going to study this morning. The testimony, we'll call the lesson this morning, the testimony of Simeon. And we'll begin reading verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to light a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. Lord, open the Bible. Open our hearts to receive what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a neat story. You know, there's many things that the Lord did just in the first two chapters of the book of Luke to provide Israel with signs. The Bible says the Jews require a sign. They were always asking for a sign. They always needed a sign. They wanted to see some physical affirmation. That means they really struggled in this area of faith. It's like they wouldn't believe unless there was some kind of a sign attached to it. And you know what? God didn't have to give them any sign. But the honest truth is, he gave them a multitude of signs. Many times over, before the birth of Christ, after the birth of Christ, during Christ's childhood, all the way through his ministry, the Jews cannot stand before the Lord God and say, if you would have provided us a sign, we would have believed he was the Messiah, because many signs were presented. And I was reading Luke chapter 2, and I tend to do that the week of Christmas. I'll just read it almost every single morning the week of Christmas, and just, it warms my heart, gets me in the spirit. I like going back to Matthew and reading that account, then I'll go to Luke and read this account. But as I was finishing the chapter out, I began to dwell on this, these two individuals, and I think I have enough material on Simeon for one lesson, and so we're going to study him today. Every once in a while it's nice to find these less known characters of the Bible, and some of the less known, the ones that would not be, you know, in our top 10 or top 20 list of Bible heroes, I would say this. I think this man warrants that type of status. If I was a young man, I'd want to grow up to be a Simeon. You know what I like about him? The Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Now, you know what? They're going to the temple, so I'm sure if he had been a priest, they would have said he was a priest. You know, if he'd have been a rabbi, they would have said he was a rabbi. If he'd have been a member of the Sanhedrin, I'm sure it would have been mentioned. But you know that what the Bible says? There was a man in Jerusalem. Here was a man that just lived in the city of Jerusalem. He had no special call upon his life. He wasn't somebody that served in any type of position or status in the synagogue. But in my thinking, he was a man that provided the moral fabric, the spiritual fabric of the community. And you know, folks, we need men like this. I pray to God that people in this community can look and say, there was a man in Jasonville. There was a man in Linton. There was a man in Hymera. I think every man in our church ought to say, you know what? The community needs to see individuals like this that are what? Well, what was he, preacher? Why is this so important? His name was Simeon. The same man, here it is, was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, let's study it out. Let's talk about these things. I think that would be a great resume. If I was a man here today, and I am, but if I was a layman here today, I think I would say to myself, can people in the community, is this the reputation that I would provide in my community? The people that work with me every day, is this the reputation that I've established? You know what? These are good things. These are good qualities. You know, folks, listen to me. Our testimony, boy, I just want to scream it from the housetops. I'm tired of watching Christians being so careless with their testimony. Your testimony is important. What you do is important. You know, what you say is important. Where you go in the community is important. Or where you won't go is important. You know what? If you know what young people need to see? Not a bunch of Christians that are fakes. Not a bunch of people that show up to church on Sunday and then live like the devil Monday through Saturday. You know, that's done more to damage the cause of Christ than, you know, listen, I'd be terrified. I'd be sick, spiritually sick, to think that I was going to stand before the Lord one day and have to say, Lord, I was saved, but I was careless with my testimony. My life did more, and the decisions of my life and the actions of my life and my conduct did more to turn people away from the Lord Jesus Christ than to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, let's let our light so shine before men. You know what? It's dark. It's dark. And you know what? This man wasn't a guy that, you know, like I said, served in some known position. But buddy, he had a reputation. What was that reputation? That he was a just man. That word just means equitable or holy, innocent, righteous. You know what? People didn't look at this man and say, you know what? He's borderline. You know what? He talks a good talk about being in church and being saved, but man, in his dealings with people, he's crooked. Or you know what? He's lazy. Or you know what? You just can't count on him. Or man, he treats his wife and children horribly. I mean, that's not the kind of reputation this man had. You know what? He was a just man. And that means he living a righteous life was important to him. It was important. You know what? Not to be seen of men, although men saw him, but because he knew that he was seen of God. Amen. And you know, if we'll live right because we care about what God thinks, that's got to be the motivation. We have another group of so-called religious people that gave Jesus fits that wanted to live publicly right and privately. You know, Jesus called them whited sepulchers. They like putting on the dog on the outside, but inside they were just wicked. And this man from, listen, let me say it this way. From the inside out, this was a good man. He was a good man and holy, innocent, righteous. There wasn't any gray areas of his life. He was a devout man. And that means, that word means he was careful, circumspect. He was known to be pious or religious. You know what? People in the community ought to say, you know what? That Val Loveless, he's a church guy. It's all right to be called a church guy, all right? Every once in a while, some of our bus kids, they'll label them at the public school. You're one of those church girls. That's all right. That's not a bad reputation to have. You know, just let it be known. You know what? The bent of my life is a seriousness when it comes to the things of God. This was a man that you didn't have to wonder. I mean, the priest didn't have to wonder if Simeon was going to show up on Saturday. That's when they would have been gathering in the synagogue. They didn't have to worry about that. They didn't have to worry about whether or not he maintained prayers or he treated sacredly the law of the Lord. He was known as a religious man, a pious man, a church man, a devout man. When it comes to the things of God, there was a seriousness to him. And we need those kind of men in our community with that kind of a reputation. He waited for the consolation of Israel. That word waited has the idea of being patient and expectant. This word consolation is interesting because it can be interpreted two other ways. It talks about the salvation of Israel. And I think that in some essence, he was asking God and praying and waiting for the deliverance of Israel. Remember, they're under Roman rule. He was very patriotic. He wanted to see God deliver Israel from Roman rule. But of course, in a much larger sense, he was patiently waiting for the consolation, not just salvation, but the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And the Bible says this, the Holy Ghost was, and notice the wording here, was upon him. Now, folks, prior to Jesus being ascending up into heaven and the Holy Spirit coming when Jesus breathed upon the disciples in the upper room, prior to that, the Holy Spirit never indwelt any Old Testament believers. You realize the honor and privilege we have as New Testament saints? You realize that once Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit of God to indwell every single believer? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? And again, let's go back to talking about testimony. Good night. Preacher, why do we dress a certain way? Why do we not do certain things? Why do we treat our bodies sacredly? Why do we live pure lives? Let me just say a couple things. Why do we stay away from tattoos? Okay, because our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. It just amazes to me. And by the way, we have sometimes people that got tattoos before they got saved. And you know what? Most of those people, if they're honest with you, would say, man, I wish I could hit a reset button and go back. But now it's become this thing where it's like, listen, I'm watching Christians. There's Christian tattoo parlors. But I'm sorry, that's against Old Testament law. And you know why? Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, a Christian views his body differently than a lost person would view their body. It's a bigger deal for a young Christian, a young person, to keep themselves pure before they get married. It's a big deal. Why? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. This man took all this stuff seriously. Listen, I just feel like somebody needs to blow the trumpet. Going into 2018, folks, listen to me. It's not time to be slack in our testimony. It's time to be pious. If people want to say that that's a bad word, say it's a bad word, but I don't think it's a bad word. It's time to be devout and serious when it comes to the things of God and faithful when it comes to the house of God. And you know what? Real and genuine in our testimony outside in the community. You know what? Listen, I'm a lot of saved people are going to stand before God with blood on their hands of lost people that were turned away from the church and turned away from salvation because of the dual life they want to live. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. And we've got a whole brand of Christianity that's trying to live with one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and half the time they're serving God and half the time they're serving the devil. What kind of, this man was not like that. Nobody could point a, he wasn't perfect. We all know that. He wasn't perfect. He had to be saved like we had to be saved. But you know what? Nobody could point a finger and say, that man's a hypocrite. He's a deceiver. He was the real deal. Listen, you don't have to be perfect. I mean, we can't be. But you ought to be real. And you ought to take the things of the Lord seriously. And so here we have this man. Now, the Holy Spirit did not indwell him, but he came upon him. He had an anointing about him. I think because of his decision to live this holy, righteous life, with that just comes an anointing that came upon him. So we see the man, and I've introduced to you the man called Simeon. I want to examine this amazing message that he received. So let's go back to the scriptures and look at verse number 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, I don't know when this occurred, and I don't know how this occurred, to be quite honest with you. I know that he had a very close, serious, meaningful relationship with God. I know that the Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit's presence was very strong in his life. Oh, I want to stop here and just go and teach on that subject. I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And this man could not have experienced what we experience in New Testament times, but isn't it a shame that the average Christian in America that's truly saved is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but they've never known the fullness of the Spirit of God. It's a mystery to most Christians. Most Christians in this day and age are not willing to pay the price to be filled with the Spirit of God. But this man had an anointing upon him. And because of his close relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God revealed some things. I had a fascinating discussion with a pastor friend of mine that came in and stopped in and visited for about a day and a half this week. Stopped in, spent the night at our place, and got to catch up on some things. We were talking about what he calls the nudging, and I like that phrase. I don't think it's a Bible term, but he calls it the nudging of the Holy Spirit of God. And he was just giving testimony to certain things that had happened in his life this year, where he said, I don't know how else to word it, Brother Ross, but he said, there's times in the pastorate, there's times as I'm guiding our church and praying over people, that I just get that Holy Spirit nudging about something. You know, there's a concern here. This person's slipping. I need to go by and see this person and see if I can lead him to Christ. And he said, you know what? I think in my youth, my younger years of ministry, I didn't pay very much attention to that. But he said, I've learned, if I'll just listen, if I'll just be sensitive, are you getting this? Don't wait till you're aged to do this. The Holy Spirit of God wants to have a relationship with you. You know what? If you will pay the price, listen, Holy Spirit of God doesn't reveal much to carnal Christians. He's not going to be powerful in the lives of people that are playing the game all the time. You know what? You know, we're going to get to heaven and find out what carnality cost us, because we just wouldn't separate ourselves unto God. We had to live this dual life. We had to just play at it. And I think most of the judgment seat's going to be a revealing of the impact we could have had if we'd have just gotten serious about this matter of serving God, being filled with the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says if you're led by the Spirit, you won't be led by the flesh. But if you're led by the flesh, don't tell me you're led by the Spirit. And you know what? Part of that is the revealing that the Holy Spirit does. He's going to teach some people things that he'll never teach other people. He's going to reveal things to some of us that are willing to pay the price to be filled with the Holy Spirit that he won't reveal. And you know, this man gave testimony, and I was challenged by it, and I thought, you know what? I think in this message this morning, I want to get up in front of my people and say, could you stand up this morning? If I were to give you opportunity, I'm not going to take the time to, but if I was going to give you the opportunity, could you stand up this morning and testify that in 2017, could you tell specifics where God's Holy Spirit urged you and nudged you and led you and directed you and revealed things to you? Can you say, I had this divine appointment and that divine appointment, and God used me here, and God wouldn't let me sleep here, and I got to lead this person to Christ, or I made a difference here, and it was the Spirit of God working in my life? If you can't, let me just beg you to decide to live that way in 2018. You have the same Holy Spirit anybody else does. He wants to communicate with you just as badly as he wants to communicate with me. He wants to lead you and use you in a powerful way. But you know what? This what was being revealed wasn't revealed to just anybody in Jerusalem. It was revealed to Simeon. And you know what? This is what was revealed. You're not going to see death before you see the Lord's Christ, L-O-R-D apostrophe S Christ, Jehovah's Savior, Jehovah's Messiah. And so you know what? I don't know when it happened. Was it, did he get that revealed to him as a young man? Was it in his middle-aged years? Was it towards the end of his life when maybe he began to pray and say, Lord, I'm just kind of ready to go home? I don't know when it was, but at some point, I could see Simeon going, trying to go and explain this to people. Because, you know, when God's doing something in your life, you want to share it. You're excited about it. Can you imagine the reaction when he went to the average, excuse me, carnal Jew and said, the Holy Spirit of God told me something like that. I wonder how his wife reacted. I wonder how his kids reacted. I wonder what the neighbors said. I wonder if the priest, like, okay, this guy's gone off the woo-hoo-hoo. He's off the, you know. But you know what he said? He said, the Holy Spirit of God told me something. I'm not going to die until I get to see with my own eyes the Messiah. Now think about that. You know what? Here he is, aged, he's older in years, and here this message was revealed. Before you die, you're going to get to see the Christ child. Now, I'm going to throw this out to you, because I really started meditating on that, and I thought to myself, this is what the Holy Spirit started talking to me about. Obviously, you know, that's not something that the Lord's going to reveal to any of us, because Jesus has already come, but it would be kind of neat if he revealed to me, you're not going to die before Jesus comes back a second time. I'd like to have that promise. I'd love to have that promise. But I got to thinking about this. You know, and again, if you're younger than 50, I'm not sure you're going to understand what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get towards the end, and I'm not old. I joke about being old a lot. There's days I feel it. You know, I say it's not the year of the car, it's the miles. I got a lot of miles, okay? So I may not be as old a model, but I got a lot of miles. And I've done this thing a long time. And the closer you get, when you look and you do the math and you figure out that you've lived more life than you can possibly have left, I mean a lot more than you possibly have left, and heaven just gets sweeter. And I'll be honest with you, more and more I just feel like an alien. I don't understand this world. I don't feel at home in this world. I don't even understand most Christians anymore. I'm just sorry. I'm not saying in our church. I'm just saying I don't get it. I watch people and they say they believe one thing and they live as if they don't. And it seems like everybody's talking a good talk, and then just, what is it? Is it? And I just half the time think, is this just a joke? The people, nobody really believe it in their heart anymore. And then, you know, thank God there's some Christian young people that are taking the Christian life seriously, and still young people. We've got some visiting from home that grew up here that stepped out and serving God and are willing to give their life. But they are such the exception. And I just watch us bring them in here by the truckload and pour our hearts into them, and they get saved, and many of them come to the Christian school, and then they just, you know, walk across the blood of Jesus as they walk away from God into the world. And I just think, Lord, I don't feel at home here anymore. I don't even know this. It's not that I've ever felt at home in the world, but I'm not even feeling at home in the church anymore. Come on. That shouldn't be the way it is, by the way. And I just think, you know, so what I'm saying is, I think there's a reason God said 70. I've said this before. I think by the time you hit 70, Brother Ron told me he's going to turn 70 this year. I can't believe. Shelton Smith stood up here and said he was 75, and I just went, what? I was like, what? And, you know, the other side's looking sweeter. But here's, I'm getting to it, but here's the thought I had. And I got a piece of paper, and I said, I want to pray about this. And I haven't even finished it yet. But I said, Lord, there's a bigger part of me, growing part of me that just wants to go home. And I'm not suicidal. I don't even know what it is to be suicidal. I've never had a suicidal moment in my life. I've had a homicidal moment. I've had hundreds of them in my life. I've never wanted to kill myself. I've often wanted to kill other people. I mean, just driving from here to Indianapolis, I feel that all the time. I'm not trying to be weird or scary. I'm just saying. But then I got thinking, the Lord said, okay, what would it be that you would want to see with your own eyes before that day came? What would you want to see with your own eyes before that day came? It's not going to be the same as Simeon, but what would you want to see before you draw your last breath? And I think that list is mine, and it's private in my heart. But I think maybe you ought to have one where I just say, God, you know what? I don't need a whole lot. Honestly, I don't. God's been more than gracious in taking care of me and my wife's needs. And I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to really see anymore. I've traveled. I've been blessed to see some things. I don't care if I go anywhere. But there's some things I'd like to see before I pass over. I'll share one of them with you. I'd sure like to see every one of my grandchildren grow up to serve the Lord. I'd like to see my grandchildren grow up to serve the Lord. To get saved, see him saved, and then see him serve God. I'd like to be able, I think I could die happy if I just knew that generation got it, that they got it. Maybe at the end of this new year, maybe we all ought to just say, Lord, I just want to claim some things that I want to see before I go. But you know what? This man got a pretty special promise. You're going to get to see the Lord's Christ. Now, we'll run out of time and there's still a lot to teach, but I want to get to this. This guy's going to the synagogue on just another day. You know what? He doesn't know yet this is the day. But this devout, holy, godly man is doing what he did every single... I'm going to show this to you. Watch this. You know where he saw his miracle? He saw his miracle in the routine life of faithfulness. He'd gone to the synagogue every week of his life. And you know where he saw the miracle? In the routine life of faithfulness. You know why he saw the miracle? I wrote this down. Why did he get to experience this? Could you imagine? I'm picturing this frail old Jewish man, loves God, the anointing of God on him. I'm watching. Maybe he's got a walking stick and he's walking in the synagogue and he looks over at this couple and he looks in their arms and he sees this baby and the Holy Spirit of God says, that's the Christ. Can you see him charging? All of a sudden, he's maybe pushing people out of the way. And his eyes are sparkling. Oh, his face is wrinkled. And his hair is snowy white. And it is. And maybe he's not very steady on his feet. But right now, he's determined. And can you see him with a sparkle in his eye? And can you see Joseph as he sees this man charging towards him? And maybe, you know, like most dads, you have that protective instinct. Maybe as a mother, you have that protective instinct. But you look in the face of this man and you don't see anything to fear. You see nothing but holiness. God's all over him. And these gnarled shaking hands, reaches out and takes this baby right out of her hand and holds it up. Can you see him? He begins to weep and cry and testify. And then he looks up to heaven and he said, "Okay, Lord, I can go home now. You said that I couldn't until I seen him, but I've seen him. I'm ready." It was the only thing that was keeping him here. He wanted to go. I mean, as soon as he saw it, he's like, "Okay, check it off. Can I go now? How about this afternoon?" It's the only thing he was waiting for. And he got to see that. He got to realize that. And maybe going into 2018, let's claim something. Let's claim it enough to live right to get it. "Well, preacher, I've been praying for years." Are you praying from a holy life? Are you praying from a clean heart? Are you faithful in being where you're supposed to be so one of these days you can see it happen? Is it serious? Are you praying every day faithfully where you just, I'm gonna claim this and I'm gonna get a hold of the horns of the altar, and Lord, if it takes the rest of my life before I take my last breath, just let me see this. Whew. I hope the Lord's doing in your heart what he did in my heart this week with that. And it may be something totally different or a different list, but we've got the same miraculous God. He allowed him, now watch this. Say, "Preacher, why did he allow to have this moment?" He stayed faithful. He never quit believing. Watch this. The day that it happened, he was led by the Spirit. And I love this too. The day it happened, Joseph and Mary was where they were supposed to be because they were led by the law of God. Do you know why they were there that day? The explanations in verse 21 down through verse number 24. They had, you know what? If we'll follow the word of God and we'll allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God, we'll be where we need to be to see what's going to happen. You can't lose by letting the law of God and the Spirit of God lead you. And I want to say this real quickly. The Spirit of God is never going to lead you opposite of the law of God. And the law of God is never going to lead you opposite of the Spirit of God. There's so many people wanting to use the Spirit as an excuse to disobey the Bible. "Well, I prayed about this, preacher, and the decision you're making is in direct contradiction to the Bible." Well, the Holy Spirit, by the way, you better be careful. You start evoking the name of the Holy Spirit. By the way, did you notice his first name? A lot of times when people are wanting to blame the Holy Spirit, they leave off his first name. The whole charismatic group, you hardly ever hear him use the word holy. It's always, "Well, you could feel the Spirit that night in our rock concert." Well, you felt the Spirit, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. There's a lot of spirits. The Bible said, try the Spirit, see whether they be of God. There's spiritual activity sometime, but it's not of God. But if you'll just live your life saying, "I'm going to let the Word of God dictate my actions, and I'm going to let the Spirit of God work with the Word of God to get me where I need to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, being faithful in what I'm supposed to do," I think that a lot of the time it's routine. But I think also there's those wondrous times where you get to see something miraculous and divine. And I think that it happens on a pretty regular basis if you're willing to be right, live right, do right, stay clean before God, stay tender to the Word of God, stay in it, study it, ask the Holy Spirit for that spiritual nudging, and be obedient when it happens. Listen, can we all just say, could it be possible, Lord, that I walked past and missed a whole boatload of divine appointments in this last year? Lord, I don't want to do that this year. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. But man, I got this picture in my mind. Here's this old Jewish man. He comes over, he pulls that baby out of Mary's arm, and something inside of her, the Spirit of God, says it's okay. I mean, mamas won't give up the newborns very often, you know, to anybody, especially some stranger. And I got this picture of him holding them up saying, "Lord, I got to see him, the consolation of Israel." What does he say about this? What's his testament? I'll just read it to you because you know what he starts doing first of all? He blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord. Verse 28, "Then took he up in his arms and blessed God." And you know what, folks? I know. Say, "Preacher, if I was to make the list you're talking about, I'd be writing down some things that don't even seem possible right now." And don't you know that God is the God of the impossible? And you know what? You just hang on and pray. And when it happens, you know what? You're going to, listen, I don't care if you're Baptist or not. You'll turn into a Baptist when you have these kind of moments, okay? Because a handful of times in your life, you get to see God just do something, especially something you've been begging and praying God to do. You get happy. And then he said this, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He said, okay, Lord, here was the deal. I had to hang around down here till this happened, but now that it's happened, I've seen him with my eyes. I'm ready to come. And then he said this, which thou hast for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Boy, it'd be wrong for me not to stop and say, folks, don't forget, we're going to talk about this in the next service. But listen, it wasn't just a babe that was born. It was salvation that had come to the world. He said, I've got to see it with my own eyes. And then he said something that probably perplexed the Jewish people, because he says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And they could think, well, maybe he's talking about all Jews. Uh-uh. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Man, I'm glad God didn't leave us out. When Jesus was born, you know what? He didn't just come so that he could provide salvation to the Jews. He came to provide salvation for Jerry Ross. And thank you for doing that, Lord. And then you see the reaction of Joseph and Mary. They marveled at those things which were spoken. Can you see them looking at each other? These are real people, folks. And I want you to see it. When you read the Bible, see it. And this young couple, and you know what? They've got this baby, and nobody around them understands the extraordinary circumstances that have brought them to this moment. Most people look at them, and it's just another couple with a new baby fulfilling the law, but they know what's happened. And you don't think at times they said, you know, was that real? And it's been a while now since the shepherds came, and the star appeared, and the angel visits. Every once in a while, even though you know every once in a while, it's still nice to see the sign from the Lord, an affirmation of what God is doing in your life. And whoo, I can see them looking at each other. They're marveling. I can see Mary wiping tears. Simeon turned around and blessed them. You know why? Because they had a huge responsibility. I could see that old man hold that baby back and put it in the arms of Mary. Reach out and put his hand on Mary's head, and put his hand over on Joseph's head, and begin to pray and ask God's blessing upon them. Can you picture that? Can you imagine what they felt? Do you think that Holy Spirit that was on him wasn't being felt in that moment? You don't think the people around him that was watching this had a sense that something supernatural was happening right there? Put his hand upon him and prayed for them. And then he said unto Mary, then he looks right into Mary's eyes, and he said, behold, this child is set for the fall. That word means downfall. The downfall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Man, has this babe created controversy? You know what Jesus did? He presented an opportunity for those who have been downfallen to be rose again. And you know what? Some people, because of Christ, will end up falling. Some people, because of Christ, will end up being pulled up. And you know one thing's for sure, Jesus makes everybody make a decision. Amen. And you know what? More things have been spoken against Jesus Christ than about any other thing, any other person in history. And then he looks and gives this little personal message to Mary in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. And I think that down deep, Mary had some idea of what Jesus would have to do. But I still think she was like most Jews. I'm not sure she wasn't thinking that Jesus, being the Messiah, was going to usher in the kingdom and was going to deliver Israel. And don't think that there was something that gripped her heart when he said, now a sword's going to pierce her. Maybe the first Holy Spirit preparation in her heart for what was about to happen later on in her life. And then he said that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Well, what an encounter. And I rushed through the last part. Read this story. You'll be blessed by it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Simeon. May he be an example. May he be a challenge to all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.